Welcome back, MGTOW Men. So today I want to speak about a topic for my MGTOW Men and men considering the red pill that are young and in college. And obviously for those that are able to avoid the college scene or at least are able to commute, that's ideal. But for many that were able to acquire good scholarships, you maybe have to go to further your education in a STEM field. You're in that situation. And I want to speak about some of the temptations that you will need to navigate as a MGTOW man through this minefield that we know as college in the Western world. So this video is in part a response to an email request that I received recently. So to you, thank you for the interest, and I hope that this email suffices in the response that it provides for you. So brief background on myself to prove some of the efficacy of the statements I'm going to hopefully make. And I'm 24. And I can speak on this directly and personally, having had a lot of experiences navigating through these things and trying to imbibe the red pill. Okay, I studied journalism as an undergrad and played baseball. And for the half of my undergraduate career, I was single. The latter half, I was dating. And there was a real difference between the two worlds that were at play there. Basically, had two different lives. The first half, I was not making the progress that I wanted to make networking professionally in my career, but I was developing my inner belief systems, taking the time I needed, and living the life that I wanted to live in pursuit of much of what MGTOW said before I knew about it. In the second half, I was making the strides finally in my career, making the connections and propelling myself professionally, academically, into my collegiate baseball career. But on the other end of that was utter exhaustion from a relationship that I pursued in which I nearly got married and fell for the bait of temptation that I'll kind of talk about in general today. So these two different lives, okay? These two different lives. And for those of you that are not in college but are young, in fact, at any age, these same temptations will arise, just not as frequent as you surround yourself with the matrix. It's a dangerous matrix to be entrenched in college for so many reasons. And part of the reason that I'm touching on this today is because I believe that there's a large element of MGTOW that is being able to control the urges to return or to partake in the temptations that lure you in. And I was having a conversation with a very insightful MGTOW last night. And he was touching on this, and I agreed. And the MGTOW journey is selfish in a good way, in a sense that you put yourself first and aren't a slave to the plantation. But because the outside will often view it in that way, it's ultimately being viewed as selfish overall. We are thus selfish individuals all across the board in their eyes, and this is not true. In MGTOW, you are sacrificing many things in the present that you could easily have each day, but you're foregoing that for long-term gain. And in that sense, MGTOW is a sacrifice. And I learned that during college, and that's why I think combining these ideas of MGTOW, college, and turning temptation into opportunity is where I want to focus my efforts. So I've divided today's talk into three elements: dietary temptation, so health overall, temptation from women, and the temptation to doubt and other people's doubts, depression and anxiety related. So all these things have relevance to people past college, but the reason it is important to nix these now is because if you create the good habits, oftentimes these habits will persist throughout adulthood. So let's get into number one. The subheading is ramen. So ramen noodles, need I say more? And let this stat scare you. According to an article in 2014, you can eat ramen 3 times a day for a whole year, and you will only end up spending $142. Okay, you're asking yourself, man, I took my girlfriend out to a steakhouse then. And if you're trying to be like Drake, you took her out to the Cheesecake Factory and you bought her and yourself 2 entrees for $60, throw in a $20 appetizer, a few glasses of wine, and of course, cheesecake. And the next thing you know, you've just hit $142 after tax. My goodness, that's not the same amount as a dude that ate ramen every day for a year, or that is the same amount, and neither situation is good. Okay, in the long run, they lead to equally detrimental situations. You die from an excessive ramen use, or you die from working yourself to the bone to support those dinners out. And where do I go? Everyone else is eating ramen at 10:30 a.m. and 10:30 p.m. Nobody is taking time to cook or to buy food that actually sustains them, and I'm trying to work out at the same time. And in fact, if you aim to eat well, you're likely going to get shamed for attempting to take care of your body. It's this college shaming perspective. And secondly, with Starbucks in every student center, in the library, and in the cafeteria, everyone is downing excessive amounts of glycogen and sugar in their fraps. All right, I like a good drink every once in a while. Okay, but this is the norm, that is the custom. And eating habits are internal in the respect that they reflect your biology and natural dietary needs, but you also have to realize the gut-brain connection, okay? And just like eating, just like drinking, it's very much a social thing. So the freshman 15, the NCBI, there's a study, the freshman 15, is it real? And it indicates that freshman weight gain was 5.5 times greater than that of the general population, while the average was actually around 7.7 pounds per person. That's still quite a considerable gain in weight after the first year. Therefore, the freshman 15 does hold some veracity. And honestly, all that you need to do to combat this is set aside at least 30 minutes a day to do some sort of exercise. Doesn't have to be super intense. And the lie that you have to eat ramen, Papa John's pizza, coffee, and Natty Light is not true. And the reason that it often exists is a far larger issue that needs to be addressed. People attend colleges they shouldn't be at. It's just like buying things you don't need to impress people that you don't like. You go to colleges to impress people you don't care about and that won't remember you. All right. And subsequently, they feel financial pressure and simple dietary decisions become secondary. And thus, this goes out the window. And when that goes out the window, your mental acuity drops, your productivity in school and work drops, and you lose the potential to earn back the money that you invested into college in the first place. Honestly, do whatever the heck you want to do personally with your own diet and whatever works for you, but I'm just recognizing some of these temptations to fall in these habits, especially if you're in this environment. And this also touches on the lack of sleep. There's a temptation for this. Greater freedom, greater liberty. What do I do with this? In another article located in the NCBI titled Causes and Consequences of Sleepiness Among College Students noted that irregular sleep schedules, they're highly prevalent among college students as 50% report daytime sleepiness and 70% attain insufficient sleep. And furthermore, depression is very closely related to an inability to fall asleep. And more college men are experiencing depression each day. I know that I struggled it mainly in high school, predominantly in high school. And this is a deadly combination, especially when this is promoted and almost idolized amongst the college bro culture and the late night Netflix and chill sleep patterns. And I know that for me, okay, it was, and it's still difficulty for me. And I was a chronic sleep in class student. And often when I would get really close to passing out, I'm shamefully admitting this, I would walk into the bathroom, sit on the toilet, set my alarm for 5 minutes and aim to get a nap really quick and then return. And then this also ties into alcohol consumption. So one of the most dangerous and touchy subjects for a man, and about 100,000 students between 18 to 24 are involved in alcohol-related sexual assault or date rape situation. And I don't know the veracity of the publication, as it was according to the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, should be accurate. But another 1.8 million students are awarded bachelor's degrees each year. And while many undergrads aren't winning those degrees, there's still a very large percentage of students that are involved in the situation. And if you haven't read the case of the fraternity rape at the University of Virginia, according to the Rolling Stones, I think from 2015, you should. It encapsulates all the potential dangers of potential rape accusations, alcohol involved, inhibiting your chances of life after college. And the reporter for the Rolling Stones incurred a $1.6 million payment to the state institution for a miscredited rape story and sharing it. And this dovetails nicely into the next point, the temptation with women, possibly the most important one to recognize right here, possibly the most detrimental for you in the long term. So the guy that emailed me mentioned the idea of women in makeup use. Okay, this just scratches the surface with college women. You're going to be living near them. You're going to be going to the gym with them. You're going to be in the dining hall. Okay, you're going to be in classes. And overall, there is never going to be the same density of attractive women that you have an opportunity with in your life nearby again at such a ripe age. There is no need for Tinder there. Okay, not about that. I'm not promoting that. There's no need for dating websites. All you have to do is just go to class, go to the dining hall. The opportunity is there constantly. The temptation, the drive to go back to the plantation, it's always there. And what I'm getting at here is that this environment will not be reflected by any other environment that you're going to have going forward. People leave high school and at least they're under some supervision by authority. They're only going to school with these girls and women. They're not essentially living with them. And as a result, your ability to stumble into a pitfall is far higher, not to mention the amount of money that they're pouring into makeup and Lululemons from this demographic, trying to lure you that way. Don't be duped into this. Okay, it's an absolute cesspool of politics and hookups. The second half of my college experience, I took a lump here, and while I suffered a personal identity collapse at this point in my life, it helped fuel the backbone for my MGTOW beliefs. So like anything, it's a double-edged sword. But to protect yourself from this, aim to not live on campus if you can help it. My situation was slightly different because I lived far away from where I grew up. I played baseball in college. And obviously, I would have considered things differently if those two factors were not in place. And also, if you're going to drink, do it with a dude in your room that you like to hang out with. Never make yourself vulnerable in a position where something could go back to bite you. And college is tailored for females for many reasons. In the past year, 56% of students were women. Additionally, according to the Department of Ed, 2.2 million men were enrolled in colleges, fewer than women. And that number is only going to go up. Don't dawdle here. As a MGTOW man, you'll become more attuned to the habits that I've noticed in the female college culture. They're living amidst a very feminist social structure that perpetuates that way of thinking. Courses are tailored in that way. And professorly, and the professors, it's an echo chamber. Why do you think that Jordan Peterson has had multiple warnings from the University of Toronto for the arguments that he's being putting out there and he's making? Also, the diets of many Western women in college are deplorable. There is very little effort to take into account health. High sugar diets, high in carbs, they're partying every weekend. Habits are not being built that would lead you to even believe that they'd be good partners in the first place. And recognize that you have nothing to gain here. And when you dwell on women in college, you once again lose that ability to get a head start on your peers. Because you have to realize that you're not competing with your peers when you're going to college. You are going to college and you're competing with the people that are already working. Therefore, if you can minimize the amount of extra time that you need to work, all right, that on-campus boring job to support yourself week to week, and can instead invest time into a valuable internship or devote yourself to at least 10 hours of independent study on a topic of interest, in addition to your studies, you will have a fighting chance in the work world. So aim to do that. And you are almost told to trifle by candlelight each night, pulling all-nighters at the last minute. And that's where depression can come in, because depression is often fueled by doubt. And that's the final note that I'm going to talk about. It's the mental temptations to slip into beliefs that are purported onto you from other people. So the mental temptation in college is to be in your dorm, 1 p.m., the sun is shining, and you're done with classes for the day, and your roommates pull out Call of Duty, and you think that it's time to play that for the rest of the day. You see this for 4 years. Hey, if you want to play Call of Duty, you want to take care of what you need to in life. I'm not saying don't do that. But for a man in college, this can be a precarious thing to get into. And for a man in college that is feeling the pressure to pay off bills or to get the money that he needs to supply even a cheap lifestyle, I don't think that this is innately fulfilling. And I think that it is utilized as a form of escapism. And I have my forms. But for me, there was always something depressing if I was sitting in my dorm at that time of day. I couldn't do it. And in fact, I fear being at home or anywhere sedentary at that time of the day. And partly that is almost due to my obsession with work, and almost an unhealthy one. But when you look ahead at your college career, you may feel no accountability for not doing that. And at the back of your mind, you think that if you don't make a change, then when I leave, the fun is up and it's over. That's not inherently true, especially if you're going MGTOW. You can continue the fun. The pressures to produce are going to be different, but the pressure for me to produce at this time of my life and in college, it was fueled out of my fear of not reaching potential, which is a healthier thing than despair. But it can lead to some of the more common feelings of doubt, worthlessness, and confusion over the right career path. And obviously, we know this. An article corroborating this from The Ohio State in 2015, about 30% of college students reported that in the 12-month period, the last 12 months, they felt so depressed that it impacted their functioning. And this is a relatively common thing. But the temptation that I'm connecting right here is to acquiesce to the security of your four-year experience. Think about it. There is really no other time in your life in which you have a concrete and accepted social standing as a student for a designated period of time, and you don't necessarily have to be making money or showing tangible steps of progress towards something other than just studying. Therefore, these 4 years should almost be perceived as a vacuum of time in which time can stop for you, and you can fully pour yourself into skill development and readings of topics that you may never have the time to devote to going forward. And I know that for me, in the social group that I had, and especially during all the road trips, the hotel stays, the bus trips, I would be shamed or almost laughed at for working on my resume during a trip back from a game or reading up on something self-edifying as I was sitting in the dugout. And the temptation is to acquiesce to security and comfort that is ascribed by your peers. And that's another element of going MGTOW, is not being influenced by that. And the temptation to acquiesce to security is strong. That is temptation. I remember during my sophomore year, constantly keeping my head down. I lived with six other guys. We had our rooms shared, connected through a hallway of sorts, and everyone congregated in my room. So I migrated over to the empty one. I'd pass out there all the time. Personal development is shamed a lot of the time. And also, that's where the Sunrise hoodie originated, getting up at the sunrise for a hoodie run in the cold before the wind took over and the world decided to wake up. And then time to walk into class, all sweaty, no shower. That's another good ghosting technique, by the way, but that's for another conversation. And I'm not putting myself up higher than I should here. I fell short many times. I'm just sharing where I fell short in college. And hopefully you can help yourself avoid these temptations and make the most out of your time if you happen to be there. The temptation lists could go on forever. Do you have one to add? And also, speaking broadly, at the end of each video, I've been announcing I want to put together a book, collection of stories from MGTOW men sharing how they came to MGTOW and what it has done to benefit them. To take part in that, let me know at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter @sunrisehoodie. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.